many of you know, now more than ever, Georgia's manufacturers must think unconventionally about offering or offsetting labor challenges that are becoming debilitating. With Georgia's economy providing more jobs than there are people in the labor force, employers must evaluate avenues that weren't previously considered to facilitate and sustain a skilled future workforce. One specific avenue to assess and consider is connecting high school students with manufacturing jobs early on. According to the Governor's Office of Student Achievement, over 67% of Georgia high school students in the class of 2017 enrolled in post-secondary education, with 20% going straight into the workforce. 5 years later, of that 67%, roughly 29% of those students had dropped out of post-secondary education. For the class of 2017, this increased the percentage of students with no post-secondary credentials to 48% 5 years after graduation. Here lies the question. How can we introduce these high school students, the next generation for manufacturing, to enable them to make better informed decisions about their pathway after graduation? With us today are manufacturers doing just that. Through pre-apprenticeships, work-based learning opportunities, representatives from Gulfstream and Mohawk Industries will share their models for connecting and engaging high school students in manufacturing. During this session, we'll learn about the challenges and successes these manufacturers have experienced and the initiatives implemented to work collaboratively and intentionally with local high schools to expose the next generation to manufacturing. First, I want to introduce Kyle Redner, Public Affairs State Director for Gulfstream. In his role, Kyle focuses on K-12 workforce development and youth engagement, and specifically serves as the primary coordinator for the work-based learning opportunities at Gulfstream. Kyle will share with us why Gulfstream chose to engage high school students and the challenges they had to address and the success their experience with exposing these high school students to Gulfstream. Next is Laura Wood, Senior Talent Acquisition Program Manager for Mohawk Industries. Laura works with several high schools across the Southeast to expose students to manufacturing careers at Mohawk. She will share with us why Mohawk chose to establish a pre-apprenticeship program in addition to work-based learning opportunities and the investment and commitment critical to ensuring such models and partnerships are a success. If you will, please join me with the panelists. All right, so we were kind of talking about this earlier, that, you know, workforce is a big elephant in the room, right? And how do you actually come at it? And one of the ways that maybe a small chunk you can bite off is, you know, connecting with high school students, you know, ensuring that you have that relationship, communication. So we're just at least informing and educating the young generation and maybe even parents about manufacturing and trying to dispel the current misconception of this industry. However, there sounds like there's so many ways to do that. You know, we just mentioned work-based learning, pre-apprenticeships. You know, some companies just offer tours, go to schools or what have you. But can you describe your specific models for connecting with the youth and maybe what the differences are between the two and why you chose that route?
Me first?
Sure. Yeah. Let's kick us off.
Yeah, so, I think when it comes to, different models, we really think about it from a pipeline standpoint, right, Laura? You know, yes, it's high school, but it's also, how are we engaging in elementary and middle school as well to make sure that they understand STEM and then aviation and then, maybe manufacturing. And so we're in the schools, we're offering tours, we're doing all those types of things. But then we're also creating programs like the work-based learning program that we have, hire about 100 students across the country. We've got student leadership program to work on workforce development and all those different types of things, Laura.
And I forgot you had slides, my friend.
No worries.
Yeah. Here's the clicker.
That's perfect.
Yes, just wondering.
Yeah, so that's perfect.
The green button.
Green button.
Yes, there you
perfect.
Go. And the next one.
Yeah, so, like I said, we're really thinking about it from, kind of three buckets, if you will. So first is expose. So that's that K-12 elementary school side. So we've got, a dynamics of flight demonstration that we've actually created Perry the Platypus, where for students to read about aviation. We partner with Hunter Army Airfield to do their Starbase STEM program. And then we go into schools and we do the career. But that's more kind of, you know, reactionary. As a school or a parent wants to go into the schools, fine. We just want to expose them to STEM in general. And then you start to think about, okay, middle school, let's explore, right? Let's begin to think about different career paths within STEM or within aviation. So we partner with a local middle school there in Savannah. We're giving out grants, so we're outsourcing a lot of this explore work to local nonprofits. And then we're doing more of those school visits and career fairs. And then finally, you know, engage, right? So we've exposed them to STEM. They've started to explore different career paths. Let's begin to engage in those career paths that you may be interested in. So I'll talk about the first three in just a second, but I'll start with, you know, school visits, career fairs, and then tours. So something for us, we actually only reserve tours for high schoolers just because of the content that they're seeing. It's a little bit of safety stuff, of course, right? Legal and compliance are on us there. But if a middle school approaches us, say, hey, we want to do a tour, we would defer to sending somebody into the classroom and say, hey, come and bring them as high schoolers. From an engaged standpoint, we have three kind of core programs that we really believe in. First is our student leadership program. We all understand, yes, we need people in the industry that know how to work and know how to make carpet or make airplanes, but we also need people that show up on time, communicate effectively, have those soft skills. And so this is our solution to that. So we started a student leadership program that we run each and every year that gives them all those workforce skills and exposes them to different career industries. So I just got back last night from bringing 150 kids up to Atlanta. We took them to Six Flags. We did fun stuff, but we also took them to the Center for Civil and Human Rights. We took them on college tours. We began to think about different things and different things they could do there in Atlanta. So student leadership program is our solution for the workforce skills that we know we need. And then we have the aviation pathways, right? More of that engaging. So we're about to open our aviation school there in Savannah. So we're really proud of that. It's opening in January. But we just graduated our first class of students from Groves High School in that aviation pathway. So they graduate with a certificate and get direct employment right out of high school. And so working on that. But Woodville Tompkins is engineering, so all those different types of things in the aviation pathway world. And then finally, what we're going to probably spend the bulk of our time talking about is Youth Apprentice. All our youth apprenticeships are done through the work-based learning program. So like I said, we hire about 100 juniors and seniors across the company that work in a variety of positions. So during the school year, they work about 15 to 20 hours a week. And then over the summer, they can work full-time jobs. And so those are the three kind of core things that we're doing on the high school side to ensure that our students are prepared. So in our mind, if we bring them through that pipeline, right, the three E's, then it leads to kind of what we all really care about, right, in the room is that pipeline is developed, either direct employment through trainee programs or apprenticeships or level one positions if they have that certificate through our aviation pathways, or help them continue their education through the great technical college system that we have here, or going to a university that we partner with, or going into Quick Start and all those types of things. And so, you know, we feel like if we bring them through the pipeline well, hopefully they come and work at Gulfstream or with you guys, of course. but at the very least, hopefully they're coming into manufacturing and prepared and know what they want to do. So that's kind of at a really high level the way we think about it at Gulfstream.
Awesome. Well, yeah. You can see very involved, really different programs to target different sects of the younger generation, right from, you know, elementary school all the way up to high school. So now let's hear from Laura about what the approach that Mohawk's taking.
Just to be safe.
The green is green.
Okay. I see red working for Mohawk, and I instantly want to push it. Okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Laura Wood, and I do have to use this joke in manufacturing conference because wood, exactly how it's spelled in hardwood flooring, because we are the largest flooring manufacturer. So hope you all enjoy that joke. Thank you. Thank you for laughing. So yes, absolutely. That's not why Mohawk hired me, in case you're wondering. So I am the senior program manager here at Mohawk Industries, and I know we've been on some discussions leading up to this, and obviously when I heard Kyle's program, phenomenal program. The reason I bring that up is because I also love connecting with others who are coming from that place of, well, where do we start, right? I see numbers of 100 or plus that, and it gets a little overwhelming because you're just thinking where to start. So Mohawk, technically, we built this program a year ago. We've always done work in the high school space. We've always been involved. We have a wonderful area of Northwest Georgia where we started. We're based out of corporately headquarters in Calhoun, Georgia. So we've always been involved in that space. However, we really wanted to build a program that was sustainable, right? Because we all know to build the best habits, you have to have consistency. That's the number one ticket to that. So we wanted consistency in our program. We wanted something where it would build a name in the schools year after year. It would build that awareness because, again, as we all know, in manufacturing, we know the opportunities that are there. We know the industry that we work for, but our students don't. And it's not the sole responsibility of the teachers to do that either. And it's been really a cool week, more or less, because the past few days I've been at the annual GACDI conference, which is, if you're familiar with that, it's the Georgia Association of Career and Technical Education. So it was a conference full of CTAE directors, career academy advisors, and they're all asking the exact same questions that we are asking. How do we get involved with each other? So that's really great to know because the other side wants to get to meet you guys. And I almost wish I could have hauled them all over here to Hilton Head to be here today. So just to give you a little bit of preface information into our program. So as I mentioned, we started this program roughly a year ago. So I'll refer to it as year one. I started with Mohawk in the heat of 2020, as we would call that. And it has been, I mean, for me, even myself coming in outside of the flooring industry throughout Georgia is flooring capital of the world, right? I'm sure anyone in this room that comes from that industry has heard that. And as coming in as an outsider, if you will, it was amazing to me to see the potential that we had with the schools in our area to really educate the teachers, which we'll talk a lot about that in our questions. So I don't want to get too far ahead with our introductions. But again, you know, just kind of showing you a little bit of overview of all the different things that we started with year one. And why I mentioned that with year one is, you know, really being strategic, because when you start diving into that space, there's so much that you could start doing. You could start going to all of the nonprofits, all of the community events, which are wonderful to do, but then you want to get back on track to, okay, what is our goal? What do we want to implement with this? Which is what was with our student programs. So with year one, obviously, and very similar, Kyle and I have very similar structures to the program, so you'll see some redundancy in that. But student programs, the three big pieces were work-based learning, which we'll discuss too more into that, pre-apprentice, and we're calling it's our future leader certification, but it's that space to also show all the departments that are in manufacturing, because a lot of people forget about that. While manufacturing is our bread and butter, and it's one of the biggest programs that I have through work-based learning and pre-apprentice, the future leader certification really opens a lot of awareness and eyes into what goes on behind the scenes, because again, you don't know what you don't know. So students need to be immersed in those worlds, and they need to see that. And I use them. I warned Stephanie ahead of time. I like to use a lot of sports analogies. So for any
you're
sports,
in good company.
Yes, and I would use this all the time because we were doing this. You know, even with some of our local schools, it's the same ideas. Is when anybody was younger, how did they know what they wanted to be when they grew up? Me, when I was in middle school, I thought I wanted to train dolphins at SeaWorld. So I know that changes. However, how did you know that? Because you saw it somewhere. You didn't just come up with it. And again, while we expect the educators to sometimes do all of this, it's our jobs to also connect with those platforms and educate them on what's available to them. And they're very receptive to it. They really want us there. And that was something I can speak to firsthand just from speaking on countless discussions with our schools about what they need and what they want. And again, very similar with pre-apprentice program, which we'll get into as well. The pre-apprentice program, we've had pre-apprentices before, as I mentioned prior, with our involvement. But this year, we just kicked off an 8-week rotational for a structured pre-apprentice program where we expect it to be continuous. And again, back to that, it's always ever evolving, right? When we look at school systems 5 years ago, they've changed every single year just about. There's a new acronym for a program, which is great. There's, I mean, don't get me wrong, learning all the acronyms in year one was probably one of my biggest fears in month one, right? And so, you know, again, stick with it because it's worth the effort. It's worth the time to invest in those systems because the rewards are worth the risk, hands down. And so with pre-apprentice, the reason I was mentioning with change, so it used was with some of the structures where pre-apprentices would come in when you were discussing the age groups. So be ready for age groups sometimes for that to change because pre-apprentices in that picture started last week. They're all high school juniors. Before, that would have been high school seniors. So as dual enrollment increases and as all these things, and your school professionals, they're going to share that with you, which is what we'll talk about in some of those questions of why it's so important to have that consistent communication with them. And then last but not least, again, similar to what Kyle had mentioned, school engagement is a huge piece. While we are in a world of ever-growing AI, virtual reality, it's here to stay. It's a great tool, absolutely. I'm a huge advocate, though, of the interpersonal communications, the interpersonal interactions, because things like teacher externships, facility tours, student tours, guest speakers, again, back to what the teachers need, they want to have you come into their classrooms as much as possible. They want to have you come in and speak to their students, share your experience, your expertise. There's just so much where that not only helps the schools, but it helps us as an industry to build industry awareness. So again, I could share all day long about how important it is to bring students and also the countless number of times where I've had some educators where they're a little hesitant to come on site to see our training center. They thought, oh, what am I going to learn this time? You know, I know flooring manufacturing because it's very rich in Northwest Georgia. And to see and hear the differences of their reactions when they left, and they would say to me countless over and over, I cannot tell you how much that affected and changed my vision of the career paths that were available. And that you just can't, you know, top that. Right. Exactly. It makes you realize how important, again, those type of visits are. While they may seem, you know, something that we've been doing for a long time, it's something that we need to bring back because it's something that has fallen off a little bit in the past few years, especially you could say COVID, you could say all of the reasons, but that's a high level overview of our programs.
Yeah, I really, just real quick, Stephanie, I liked what you said, Laura, about, you know, your analogy about, hey, I was going to be, what, a marine biologist or something like that? Yeah.
I know, I had to guess, because we're all thinking, we're like, okay, do kids really know they want to come be an engineer at, you know, age 12?
Yeah. Well, part of it is, you know, you knew this is what you wanted to do because you saw it.
Exactly.
Part of it is, I know this is not what I want to do because I saw that, mm-hmm. right? And it's better for students to make that decision early on than mm-hmm. you and I work hard, or we as manufacturers work hard to hire them, and then they decide 2 months in, right? And so
exactly.
we're helping them understand, oh, maybe this isn't a path mm-hmm. that I want to go down. And that's not a loss for us, right? Just because we don't hire them direct out of these apprenticeship programs, that's a win, right? Because
right.
we're helping them figure out where they want to go. I think that's such an important point
Absolutely.
That we don't think about a lot. So,
yeah. And I think that's just, like we kind of talked about in the introduction, that is us taking a corporate responsibility of helping our young youth be better informed on the pathway they want to go.
Yeah.
Because like that, you know, what that 29% that just dropped out in post-secondary, you know, how much headache or money could have been saved had they maybe been exposed to manufacturing and the career advances there. So, but before we go to our next question, one thing I would like to just mention for y'all in the audience to consider our members. These folks are solely dedicated to this. This is their job responsibility. You're not doing HR on the side. You're not doing safety. I mean, you are solely 100% focused on workforce development. You specifically with K through 12 and apprenticeship, building a pipeline.
Yeah,
right?
For the most part, right? know?
Well, so here's where I will, and I say this because, again, in speaking for all size industries, because as we all know, while you may have a title, sometimes you're going to put on a different hat, right? Mm-hmm. And so part of also, and I was actually saying the same thing with the teachers, is that the work that I'm doing with the schools, I'm also doing that work internally. So sitting down with our plant managers, our HR teams, and really implementing that, because I think that's a big piece to remember in this, yes. Because as companies look at, how do I start this? Where do I begin? What if I can't hire someone, which I think is, again, part of some of our questions of we were mentioning, having someone dedicated to this does help to have that point of contact.
Yes.
But you're going to wear a little bit of each hat because mm-hmm. you also have to do just as much work on the internal side mm-hmm. as you do the external side.
Absolutely. And I love that you mentioned that. That is more than a full-time job in and of itself, right? So some companies, I think, sometimes think, you know, I would really like to focus on that, but your actual primary responsibilities get in the way of that, right? Take away from that. So a lot of chambers, hello, yours truly, are hiring directors of workforce development to specifically focus on that initiative and all aspects of it. So I would encourage you and in your organizations to really assess and evaluate, do we need to invest in a new position that does exactly what these two individuals do so we can ensure we're always keeping a pulse, that we're doing our part, you know, of trying to bridge the gap, if you will. So I just wanted to mention that because I applaud you both for making this investment and being proactive about it. So I really kind of want to get to what do y'all think are maybe the misconceptions manufacturers have with starting pre-apprenticeships or work-based learning opportunities? What may be a hesitancy, if you will? Laura, why don't you start with that?
Sure. Yeah. We're trying to be very polite to each other, Kyle and I, which we are. I've obvious ones, and Kyle and I wrote same, you know, almost mirror answers because I have countless companies that will approach me at community meetings and things. Obviously, the big one is... First one is legal liabilities, age, you know, issues, running into what are the restrictions, this and that. So that was a big one. We'll also say scheduling and training. You know, training's the big piece, or work ethic, you know, the quality of work. And so with so our work-based learning program, and again, looking at it as what makes sense for your company. That I think that's the big piece, and it's not a one-size-fits-all. Mm-hmm. It has to make sense for what your company is, back to, you know, even like the numbers, you know, when you're looking at a plant, when we would bring in, you know, again, back to that piece of working heavily just as much with the internal side, because sitting down with our plant managers and saying, okay, we want to do this. How do we do this the right way? How do we do this where we can provide the proper training? We can work around those hours, and that all also leads into safety and discussing age, you know, where do we do the age groups? And obviously we know for a lot of our positions what our age group is that we can start hiring at, but then also looking at, okay, if we're a facility where there's no, for example, lift trucks, right? Lift trucks is a big one because it has to be 18 and up for a lift truck. And so when we started really doing a lot of that planning piece early on to say, okay, this is where we can start at 17 and up. Let's start with, we started at a plant with two or three, and even just two students at one plant in particular, a county that's very dear to me, Murray County. Uh-huh. And they, I mean, it was like watching magic happen, because literally, I would say 2 or 3 months later, going into that high school at a career fair, every student knew those two students' names. They knew exactly what job they worked. They knew all the highlights of their job. They thought it was just the neatest thing ever. Even the teachers would come to me and say how much awareness just two students can have in a student body, you know? And so I know that was going on a whole nother, you know, but again, back to that, once you can really evaluate that aspect of it, you can make it happen. And not to take, you know, I'll save more for Kyle, but you know, the other thing was one that I want to speak on is the scheduling, because this was something that tends to, you know, worry a lot of, obviously when we're looking at planning schedules and part-time hours, your school systems will work with you. They really will. That was something that in the beginning of starting out year one, I sat down with every teacher, every school district and said, this is because, again, we remember what's in our four walls, but we forget, the schools forget also what goes on the business side. Sometimes we can't plan that we're going to hire three part-time students 3 months in advance, right? some of us can't. And so that's where having that flexibility of being able to share those jobs and work with us, where some work-based learning, the fear is, oh, well, we have to know who we're going to hire in the fall before the previous school year. And those teachers are willing to work with you, hands down. They've worked with me. They've definitely, you know, and we talked about that this whole past conference, about understanding industry needs and understanding so we can meet in the middle and work together on that.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, I think time for sure, both time to get them onboarded and then time to train them and all that is feedback that we, you know, get on the front end. But it's really not that much time, particularly if we do what we're talking about and have folks on your team like Laura that are out building the relationships with the schools.
Yes.
If you have that relationship with the school, then to Laura's point, they'll work with you around your timing and schedule. So time is a big one. Work ethic tends to be feedback, but these students are coming in so prepared. We put them through the same process that we put our employees through. We make them interview, right? We have them fill out applications. We have them do all that kind of stuff. So these managers at the end of the day are making hiring decisions just like anybody else. And
yeah.
So we're able to mitigate some of those things. And then finally, of course, the laws within manufacturing, right? Now's here where it gets a little bit dicey, so don't take my word for it, right?
We like this kind of conversation,
yeah,
right?
Right?
It's real.
Warn everybody
yeah.
before
yeah,
you.
That's right. Yeah. From the FAA standpoint, they can work on aircrafts, believe it or not. They just can't sign off on their work. And so they have to have a supervisor that's watching them, and then they're the ones that sign off on the work. So they can work in repair stations on our aircrafts. And so we just started in that world about in 2018, right? Because we worked with some law firms to make sure that was true. And it's really opened up our business and continued to help us grow in the youth apprenticeship program.
And I bet that was not an easy endeavor.
No. Yeah. So it does take time, right,
yes.
on the front end. But to Laura's point, if you invest that time in the front end, then the benefits you get on the back end are huge.